Hello. Did you enjoy that? Today's Bible reading is John 15, verses 9 to 17. And that's on page 1083. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remained in his love. I have told you this so that you may joy. So I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other.
If you can, I want to please just stand. Father God, already we recognise that today is a joyful occasion, and today we recognise that you are present. And we have already heard from the testimony of Caroline and Laura how you are present along each stage of our journey, not just their journey. And so as Tim opens the word now and shares his thoughts that have been given by you, we ask that we all sit and listen and think and reflect maybe about our journey and where we are with you on that. And we pray that you'll continue to be present with us, not just now, but as we leave and carry on with the next few days and months and years ahead. And we know that your promises are that you will be. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Right. Yes, that's better. Okay, thank you. All my fault. Yeah, so for 2024-1, just reminded William Booth said some words like, you know, work as if everything depends on you and pray as if everything depends on God. And so over this Christmas period, we'll be doing a lot of hard work trying to share good news of great joy. And we want to do that as a church. We want people to know the transforming love of Jesus. But actually working hard without any prayer going into it, it will be fruitless. And so what I would hope and pray is that over those 24 hours we have, that you're not too busy, that you can't come spare an hour just to pray for everything that's going to go on over the Christmas period. And so I would encourage you, you know, even if you have to get up at 2 o'clock at night, come down for an hour and pray. It'd be worth it. Be worth it in the kingdom. If we believe that Jesus transforms lives, and we've heard that this morning, our major, in a way, source
is God and praying. And I believe that as we pray, God will come and change lives in our community, like we've heard today. So let's get at it. Let's get praying as well as working hard. But let's move on. Let's move on. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. This is our theme verse, in a way, for these few weeks. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. You know, what is deep-rooted in our heart, what is deep-rooted within us, does affect the way that we are and the way we behave. At some point, it just overflows into our actions and what people see of us. So above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from what is deep within. So when we talked about guarding our heart and how do we do that, well, the first week we spoke about having an undivided heart. And that was really about trusting that God is good. And so ultimately, it's better to go his way than ours. To have that undivided heart, God, I'm going to go your way because you are good. Then last week, we spoke about hearts being filled with peace. And trusting that God is not only good, but that he is gracious. And we stand first and foremost as people who God loves. People who God is for. He's not against us. And so we don't need to fear. We don't need to be anxious. It's a peace that is beyond our understanding. And it's a peace that God gives as we trust his graciousness. So this week the question again is, how do we guard our hearts? How do we make sure that good things come from within? Well, I think we need hearts that are filled with joy. Hearts that are filled with joy. Last week we noted the words of Jesus when he said, "My peace I give to you." And we noted that Jesus noted that it is different from the world's peace. It comes from basically who Jesus is. His peace is found in who he is. And this week we read again from John's Gospel and that last conversation that Jesus had with his disciples. And I wonder if you noticed again perhaps where joy comes from. Where does joy come from? What did it say in the Gospel? Well, Jesus says, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. My joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete." See, joy is rooted in Jesus. Joy is not something that we can manufacture. You know, if we try and arrange all our circumstances, and we try to sort out everything in life that we think will bring us joy, well, that might last for a while, but something will soon come along and it will burst the bubble. Something will happen and everything that we had in place, everything we thought that we could manage so that we could have joy, well, that will disappear. And joy can't just come about because of circumstances. Real joy comes through this faith in Jesus. And I think actually this real joy comes when our faith in Jesus and our faith in God is that we believe that God is great. The Old Testament Psalms again point us in this direction. An example is Psalm 145 verse 3, where it says, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." You can't reach the full extent, the full depth of God's greatness. No one can fathom his greatness. But I think the way that God's greatness impacts us most significantly is through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in John 15, as we read, Jesus speaks about his love and his laying down his life. But God is great, and Jesus didn't stay in the tomb. Jesus overcame death, and he brought resurrection life. That's the greatest thing that has happened. He brought resurrection life. And in his book, The Signature of Jesus, Brennan Manning says, I'm going to give you a quote, it's quite a long quote, but just listen to some of these words. It says, "The victory of Jesus Christ at Calvary presents us with two logical alternatives. Either you believe in the resurrection, and hence you believe in Jesus of Nazareth and the gospel he preached. Or you believe in non-resurrection and do not believe in Jesus of Nazareth and the gospel he preached. If Easter is not history, we must become cynics. In other words, either we believe in resurrection and a living Jesus who is with us in faith, and we commit our lives to both, or we do not. Either we dismiss the good news as too good to be true, or we permit ourselves to be overwhelmingly joyous persons because of it. A Christian is to believe in a God who loves and in a Christ who is risen. We believe and we believe strongly. We believe and we believe joyously." Actually, that picture of Homer when I first looked at him, bouncing up and down with joy. He says, "Joy in the risen Jesus is directly connected with the quality of our faith. Mother Teresa chose to live her life among the most afflicted of God's children. Yet she could say, 'Never let anything so fill your heart with grief that you forget the joy of the risen Lord.'" God is great. Jesus is alive. There is resurrection. And Ignatius of Loyola encouraged Christians to pray often for intense gladness. And this is part of the quote still. He says, "He wasn't talking about a giddy cocktail party gaiety or a brave attempt to smile through tears. This is a deep-seated gladness rooted in the victory and the promise of the risen Jesus. Compassion, the ability to suffer with the hurt of another, is an essential Christian quality. Equally important is the capacity to rejoice in the happiness of another. When the gift of intense gladness is given, it produces a joy that is solid and impregnable, rooted deep beneath the shifting sands of our fickle feelings. Whatever happens, the Lord is risen. And nothing can suffocate this joy and hope. Whether the day is stormy or fair, whether I am sick or in good health, nothing alters the fact that Christ is risen. In the early church, each Sunday was known as the Feast of Little Easter. In our culture, the Christian Sabbath is a summons to the joy and optimism of Resurrection Sunday. The Lord is risen. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Hearts full of joy, the Lord is risen. God is great. Now, I just want to take you back to the Apostle Paul and the letter he wrote to the church at Philippi. Remember, we looked at some verses last week, and that he'd written this letter while he was in prison for his faith, and all the things that he suffered during that time. But this letter is full of joy and rejoicing. And I just want to sort of think for a moment, well, what is this joy, heart full of joy? What's the reality of it? What does it look like? And in this letter of joy, he says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. A few weeks ago, Denise McGarvey spoke about us being God's adverts. And I think most of us felt challenged by that. And it's good to be challenged. It makes us stop and think. And I think where this joy becomes a sort of an evident thing in our lives, what's the reality? What does it look like? And I think I come back to these words. Because the difficulty is that some of us are prone to grumbling. It simply seems to be in our DNA. We're always looking at the negative rather than the positive. And I can't say too much about this because actually one of Jo's Advent sermons is about joy. And I'm not allowed to steal her thunder or say too much, so she's got nothing left to say. But the fact that we're going to hear it twice, maybe it's something we need to hear. But I will say that joy is not about, you know, laughing all the time or cracking jokes. It's not about what's going on in that sense on the outside. Although I think if we can live life with a smile, it makes an awful lot of difference to those that we meet. I was in a queue the other day. It must have been about 3 minutes, this queue. And this chap behind me was so bitter and grumbling about being in a queue. He just grumbled the whole time to his wife, and she grumbled back. And I thought, you know, it just sounded so heavy for them. You know, and he's using B word, F word, just about being in this queue. I felt so depressed for him. It really was. I just couldn't believe how upset he was for queuing for 3 minutes and why they weren't opening more things. Oh, they know it's Christmas coming. Gosh, if he was a Christian, I really sort of think, God, you know, I don't know if he was or not, but if he was. And in the Message translation, he translates it like this. It says, do everything readily and cheerfully. And I think if you've got joy in your heart, it's not about cracking jokes, it's not about smiling all the time, but it's actually what comes out as we serve God. What comes out as we serve God? As we are with one another. Do everything readily and cheerfully. No bickering, no second guessing allowed. Go out into the world uncorrupted. A breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the loving of the living God. Provide people with a glimpse just by your sort of cheerful readiness of good living and living God. I didn't know whether to use that picture, actually, or I had another picture which... I knew Joe wouldn't like that. So we could all be caught in them. Off moment, yeah, okay, so I did think about this one as well. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, or do everything readily and cheerfully. It's actually whatever happens, the Lord is risen. The Lord is risen, that's where our joy comes from. That's who we are, that's where we're centered on. Not only is God good, we've been saying, not only is he great, he's gracious, but he is great. And the power of death has been overcome. The Lord is risen. And Jesus says that by his Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit of God, I will come and give this eternal life, this resurrection life to you. Jesus said, I will give my life to you. And Jesus says that the peace I have is yours. And he says that the joy I have is yours. My joy, Jesus says, I've told you all this so that my joy may be in you. My joy may be in you. Not a joy that you've manufactured. Not a joy because of your circumstances. Because we often know that circumstances would make us unjoyful. You know, we face circumstances which are sometimes painful or hurtful. And we're not going around cracking jokes about it. But Jesus says, my joy will be in you because God is great. The Lord is risen. And Jesus says, the joy that I have is yours. He's giving us peace and joy. And so actually, I believe in faith, he can change our proneness to grumbling and complaining. Those who are prone, and some people are, it's the way they, I don't know what it is, but some people are prone to complaining and grumbling. And actually Jesus says, I can come and change that. That's where the joy and the Lord is risen. And it should make a difference to who we are. And we can be people who do things readily and cheerfully. And we can smile as we do things. Because I think that actually is a good advert of what God can do in our lives. And we can say, along with the Bible from the book of Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Joyful, not because of my circumstances, but because of who God is. He is good. He is gracious. He is great. Whatever happens, the Lord is risen. So I just want to end with a short experiment. I want you to say, the Lord is risen. Okay, say it. That's not bad, actually, because it's quite difficult to say the Lord is risen with a grumpy face, especially if you're a believer, especially if you're a I think the word risen, you know, actually, I'm not very good at speaking, and I can say everything without moving my mouth, really, you know, the Lord is risen. But actually, the Lord is risen, we tend to smile as we say it. And so the next time you're tempted to complain or grumble as you're asked to serve a cup of tea or something, just say, the Lord is risen. And then see whether you feel like grumbling or complaining after you've said, the Lord is risen. Whenever you're tempted to grumble or complain, just say, the Lord is risen. Now, okay, you may say a bit facetious in terms of some of the things we're going through and how can I be joyful at these moments? But I think actually if we know that the Lord is risen, he has overcome. God is great. Then maybe we can face these challenges. There'll be a residue of joy within us, something welling up which says, okay, despite what I'm going through, God is great. The Lord is risen. He's the center of everything I am and who I am. And I think that will be a good advert to the world of what it means to follow Christ. So Jesus says, you know, follow me, Follow my commands, follow my way, and my joy will be in you. And your joy will be complete. Let's pray, praise him for that. Bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that God, you are good, God, you are gracious, and you are great. The Lord is risen. And because the Lord is risen, you, Lord God, are with us, alive and well. In every circumstance we face. And as that takes root in our hearts, we want to guard that, we want to know that, we want to experience it. And so the things which flow from our heart, Lord God, are good. So that joy which is deep-rooted then just comes out in our cheerfulness, in our willingness to serve others without grumbling and complaining and in the things in life. So come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Guard our hearts. Keep us people of joy. Even through our toughest of circumstances, we pray because we hold on to the fact that the Lord is risen. Death has been defeated. You are victorious, Lord God. We praise you. Amen.